Hi, this is Dr. Eunice Wang. I'm reporting live from the ASCO 2018 meeting in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm here to talk to you about two abstracts, which are representative of new advances in the therapy of acute myeloid leukemia, or AML, and myelodysplastic syndrome. Now, the first abstract I'll be talking about is a phase one study results from a potent oral IDH1 inhibitor, ivosidenib, in refractory relapsed AML patients with IDH1 mutations. Now, this inhibitor is sort of like a cousin inhibitor to enasidenib. Enasidenib is an oral IDH2 inhibitor, which was approved by the FDA for treatment of relapsed and refractory AML patients with IDH2 mutations. Now, as you know, IDH1 and IDH2 mutations occur in about 20% of AML patients. Their prognostic significance is a little uncertain, but we know that biologically, these mutations change the metabolism of the cell. They allow for accumulation of an interim metabolite, 2HG. Accumulation of 2HG alters the epigenetics of the leukemic cell, leading to inhibition of DNA methylases and eventually a cellular impairment in differentiation. Now, ivosidenib, AG120 is the former name, is a potent oral inhibitor, which has been shown in biochemical in vitro assays to have very high ability to inhibit IDH1 mutations at about 5 to 13 nanomoles. This study was a phase one study led by Dan Pelea from University of Colorado and his colleagues, which examined the doses of ivosidenib in a dose escalation study. The results being presented here are with 179 AML patients received ivosidenib at 500 milligrams and above. The major endpoint they were looking for was complete response with hematologic insufficiency. And as I mentioned, the median age of these patients was about 70 years old. What were the results of the study? Well, they actually were very promising. In fact, they were very similar when you compare the results with this IDH1 inhibitor with the IDH2 inhibitor that was approved in 2017. Ivosidenib led to about an overall response rate of about 40% with a complete remission rate of 24% and stable disease in almost 40% of patients that received treatment. Time to response was a median of 1.9 months. Overall disease-free survival was over a little bit over 6 months. And the overall response rate for these patients was approximately the same as we saw in enasidenib, about 40%. Toxicities were relatively mild. There were 20% or 25% of patients had QTc prolongation. About 10% of patients had clinical differentiation syndrome. What does this mean for our patients with AML? Well, given the similarity in the outcomes and the tolerability of this agent with its cousin agent, I would anticipate that ivosidenib is going to be approved as standard of care therapy for relapsed refractory AML patients with an IDH1 mutation in the very near future. There are still some questions that remain with this drug. Why are the response rates so low? Can we enhance those response rates in some way? At this meeting, there's some abstracts being presented that are reporting the preliminary results of ivosidenib plus azacitidine as a combination approach. There's also a results of a phase one dose escalation study looking at a novel IDH1 inhibitor, FT102, which is also being presented. So we are looking forward to further improving these outcomes as we move forward in this field. The second abstract I'd like to talk about is an abstract involving the treatment of lower risk MDS patients. Now, the standard of care for higher risk MDS patients is really azacitidine or decitabine. Azacitidine at least has been shown to result in an overall survival benefit in these individuals and is really considered the agent that most of us would start with in those higher risk patients with poor cytogenetics and prolonged cytopenias. What Swami Nathan and colleagues demonstrated in this study from MD Anderson is that there may be a role for hypomethylating agents in lower risk MDS. Lower risk MDS patients, typically untreated, have an overall survival of anywhere between 3.5 to 6 years. Generally, per NCCN national guidelines, we don't treat these individuals until they develop transfusion dependence or if they start to look like they're going to transform to AML with increased marrow blasts. This was actually a retrospective study that looked at 80 patients treated in MD Anderson with very short courses of hypomethylating agents, decitabine for 3 days or azacitidine for 3 to 5 days. These patients were not transfusion dependent and received multiple cycles of therapy without significant hematologic toxicity. And there were actually no deaths on this study. It was actually very well tolerated. Overall response rates were also pretty impressive, 74% in this patient population. And the authors here and in other publications have stated that there is a potential for this attenuated hypomethylating course to really alter the natural history of these this lower risk disease. Now, that would be a big change because for now, we don't really treat these individuals until they get sicker. So to start these agents earlier would be a, sort of a little bit of a paradigm shift. Now, there are some limitations with this study. This was a retrospective analysis of data that they collected on 80 patients in a single institute. They used a couple different chemotherapy regimens, and they used sort of a heterogeneous population. About 3/4 of the patient had intermediate disease. There's currently a phase 3 trial looking at the same patient population with the same regimens, so we're going to have to wait for that data result before we can truly say that this is an advance. And the thing that I'm worried about is, you know, the median overall survival for these patients hasn't been reached, but is this really going to be an advance, or maybe these patients would have just done fine with even no treatment or any kind of treatment? So I think it's really hard to know, and given the prolonged survival, I think we need to wait a little bit longer to see if that's going to change our standard of care.